You really need to give clients a chance to talk and hear what's on their mind, hear what's important to them and what they're focused on, rather than trying to come up with solutions to the problems you think they may have. I think you need to really give them that opportunity to really talk about things.
All right, here we go again. Onward with episode number 152 of Future Proof. Thanks as always for being here. I'm Bill Sheridan. Glad to be here. Glad to know you. Hey, listen, this week's show, by the way, is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So, as the bad guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark says, what shall we talk about, right? I think financial planning is actually at the top of my list this week. Look, we've dissected this pandemic in every way possible so far. Its impact on our world, our health, our businesses and employees, and the future of work. Right? Its impact on leadership and innovation and technology and the pace of change in general. It's all speeding up, right? But I don't think we've really taken a really close look yet at how COVID-19 has impacted the world of financial planning. Not only our clients and the state of their finances, but our own businesses, our own practices, and how the profession is changing as a result of this crisis. So we're going to look at all of that today with my guest. He is Lyle Benson. Lyle is one of the rare repeat guests on Future Proof. Lyle is president and founder of LK Benson & Company in Baltimore. He joined us back in the summer of 2020, just a little over a year ago, to talk about some specific worries about financial planning and personal finance and savings during the early days of the pandemic. Today, we're going to go for a deeper dive into financial planning as a whole, and good stuff too. We'll get to that conversation here in just a moment. First, here's what caught my eye this week. Couple of things, actually. The first is an article from CNBC that claims about a third, or 32%, of Americans have become more disciplined with their money since the pandemic started. Here's what author Francisco Velasquez says. He writes, quote, the survey found that nearly one in five U.S. adults did not have a financial plan before the pandemic struck, but 83% of Americans say they've either created, revisited, or adjusted their financial plan during the pandemic. The most common habit survey respondents developed is reducing their living costs and spending, with 45% of respondents saying they adopted this habit. The second most common habit, with which 34% of survey respondents say they adopted, is prioritizing paying down debt. And many Americans also started investing more, with 33% adopting the habit during the pandemic, end quote. And again, from a CNBC article titled, "A Third of Americans Say They Got Better with Money During the Pandemic." But there's always a but, right? You know, for every article like that, you can always find at least two others that say the exact opposite. So here's one. It's from Fortune.com, and it's titled, "COVID Has Rewritten the Rules on Financial Planning." Here's what author John Schlifsky says. He writes, quote, "Nearly a third of Americans say their retirement plans have been affected by the economic impact of COVID, with 20% planning to delay retirement beyond what they expected, according to a study by Northwestern Mutual. What's interesting," he writes, "is that the financial obstacles to retirement have also shifted. Before COVID-19 spread widely, 42% of Americans cited lack of savings as the top obstacle. Now 49% cite the economy as their biggest roadblock," end quote. And Schlifsky goes on to say that there are three financial planning strategies that Americans can take during the pandemic, or maybe just adjust a bit if they're already doing them, you know, right now. Number one on that list is rethink your retirement strategy. Schlifsky says baby boomers now say they intend to retire at nearly age 69 rather than 65, and many have complex retirement planning needs. In the new reality, people need an integrated and stress-tested financial plan. Number two, save whatever you can, because even a small savings cushion can be a big difference and make a big difference. And finally, number three, rethink that classic portfolio mix of 60% equities and 40% in fixed income. Schlifsky says that may still be a good choice for some investors, but for many, he says an investment portfolio customized to a person's specific circumstances and goals will help them achieve financial stability and security no matter what happens in the often volatile financial markets, end quote. And again, that's from a Fortune.com article titled COVID has rewritten the rules on financial planning. So yeah, tons of advice out there. But I wanted to get a kind of a clearer picture of just exactly how the pandemic has changed the world of financial planning and how it's changed the game for practitioners themselves. And for that, I'm sitting down this week with Lyle Benson, president of LK Benson & Company in Baltimore. This is all based on a panel discussion that he moderated at the AICPA's Engage Conference in July and also on a webinar that he did earlier this year. He's also been collecting ideas from a study group that he's in with other financial planners around the country. They've talked a lot recently about where we are coming out of the pandemic and what impact it's had on their clients and how the pandemic has changed their own practices and what they're thinking about, you know, going forward. So I wanted to share some of that stuff with you this week. Good stuff here. Settle in. Here is my conversation with Lyle Benson. Lyle, thanks for being here. You know, I think everyone has kind of felt changes and complexities arising as a result of the pandemic. I'm curious, how has it changed the notion of financial planning? How are you approaching your job differently now, maybe, than you were a year and a half ago?
I think as we look at the work we do for clients in the financial planning area, I think a lot of our clients have changed in terms of what their goals are, what's important to them in their lives, and what their direction is in terms of the broader picture as opposed to just the financial aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that we've seen a pretty significant shift in. I think we've also seen a changing landscape for our clients, for our practices, and the way we practice in this area and how we interact with clients and what our firms might look like going forward too. And I think that may change the landscape in terms of what it really means to be a CPA financial planner in the future.
Well, let's talk about all those things here real quick. First of all, from your clients, I mean, what are you hearing from your clients at this point? What's different in their lives now, or is anything different?
I think it depends. It's client by client. I think some clients are just sort of a business as usual, haven't changed really dramatically. But many of them have really had taken the opportunity during the pandemic to step back and think about their lives and think about their goals and what's important to them. And, you know, in a number of cases, I've seen clients who have made the decision to sort of change career direction because they didn't feel like what they were doing before was fulfilling, and they realized life is short and things can happen. Mm-hmm. And going through a pandemic has really reinforced that for them, and they've kind of changed direction from that side. Had some clients that have retired early, either by choice or by just the nature of what they do and the changing landscape of the kind of business they're in. I've seen a number of clients who really are questioning sort of where they're living geographically. They have kids scattered around the country. They've realized that it might be more important in the future to be closer to family, or maybe not be in big cities, be more in the country, as opposed to being in the middle of a big city, as we've seen, you know, as going through the pandemic. And, you know, all of that sort of has come together. We've seen divorce rates increasing. It's interesting. I talked to a planner out in Washington State who said for a long time they kept hearing that divorce rates hadn't gone up and they'd gone down. Then they realized it was because the courts were closed and nobody could go through the divorce process. But now we're starting to see some of that happening as people have reassessed their overall situation. So many of those kind of life changes, if you will, seem to be going on either as a result of the pandemic or as a result of just getting through the pandemic. And you know, as a CPA financial planner, our goal is really to start with what's important for our clients and do the planning around that.
Yeah. Is this the greatest number of like big life changes happening at one time that you can remember seeing as a financial planner? How does this equate to other periods that have kind of produced changes at the same time?
Yeah, I think it probably is. And I think you throw into it, you throw into the mix really that uncertainty that we went through during the course of 2020, you know, where we had the tremendous volatility in the investment markets in a really short period of time.
Right.
And then, you know, a strong market afterwards. We also are in an environment where the tax environment, income tax and estate tax is changing pretty dramatically, potentially with the change in administration that we have. And I think that's coming into play too. A lot of clients are really focused on planning around that, in addition to dealing with sort of the life challenges and what may have changed in their own lives in terms of what's important and what's not.
I'm kind of curious what kind of advice or suggestions you might have for other financial planners out there for how to best serve clients in an environment like this where. You know, it's not just one area, it's many, many areas of somebody's lives that have been kind of flipped upside down. And now they're looking for changes and better advice. I mean, how are you dealing with it?
I think where you start is you start from a position of being really flexible and really listening to clients. Mm-hmm. I think that all of our conversation, when I think of our client conversations that in many cases have gotten deeper and gotten into more of the life planning aspects that I've talked about since the pandemic and during the pandemic. But I think you've got to really start from the standpoint of really being open and flexible and listening to clients and seeing what's on their minds. And we learned that, you know, real clearly last year, and that especially, you know, you throw in the division in the country from a political and an economic standpoint and a pandemic standpoint, mask wearing versus non-mask wearing. You really need to give clients a chance to talk and hear what's on their mind, hear what's important to them and what they're focused on, rather than trying to come up with solutions to the problems you think they may have. I think you need to really give them that opportunity to really talk about things and see what's going on. And that's, you know, doing that in a virtual environment during the height of the pandemic was often more challenging than doing it in a personal setting, one-on-one, you know, individual face-to-face setting. We've learned certainly how to manage that process much better. And many of our clients now really like that, you know, that kind of a format, a virtual meeting, you know, as opposed to an in-person meeting. Although there are times when an in-person meeting is really important still, depending on the topics that are being covered and what you're going to get into. But I think that the starting point really has to be listening to the client, being there and not trying to, you know, fix a problem before you hear what their concerns are.
Any examples kind of stick out for you as kind of indicative of where things are moving in this area? What kind of things have you run into with clients over the last year and a half that really kind of stood out for you?
Yeah, a couple of things that come to mind. One is with some of our older clients who were thinking about going into continuing care retirement communities, they pulled back from that decision because they felt uncomfortable with the pandemic going on and those communities being a hotbed of coronavirus. So that's caused people to sort of rethink wanting to stay in their home longer, maybe. Mm-hmm. Whereas we have some clients, there's maybe a smaller group that has said, I want to get out of my house and not have all this overhead and maintenance of a large house that we've had for so long and want to get into a spot like that. And now that things are loosening up some, more clients are taking those steps. But that was one question that came up a number of times with clients. I think the residency issue, the state residency issue is another one. You know, income taxes, when the changes were made a number of years ago to eliminate the deduction of state income taxes, and with some of the states around the country, including Maryland and others, having pretty high tax rates at 10% and above, or many more clients seem to be thinking about changing their residency. And especially now, if they're still working, the fact that they can work virtually from anywhere or do whatever they've been doing, you know, virtually from anywhere, has really changed a lot of the thinking in terms of residency. So we've had more clients in the past year come to us and talk to us about moving to states like Florida, you know, or Texas or other no tax or low tax states, mm-hmm. as opposed to our high tax state here in Maryland. So that I think is becoming more that, which is a tax planning discussion, but it really is much broader than that because it involves lots of different things to make that work and lots of issues related to their family and where they want to be and how they're going to spend their time and all. I think the markets have also made this challenging. You know, we've had, it seems like our clients are split. There's a half of them are worried about missing out on the market that keeps going up so much, the investment markets, and the other half are scared to death because the markets have gone up so much. So there's nobody that seems to be in that happy middle these days. It seems like everybody's concerned. And you know, you look back at 12-month returns, you know, this past quarter, are just ridiculously high. I mean, there's no way that clients can ever expect to see 50% returns for a 12-month period. You know, that was a rare event, and that's not going to happen often. So a lot of it's managing expectations to bring them back to what makes sense and getting back to the basics of investment strategy too.
That's really interesting. For your firm, has demand increased, decreased over the last year, year and a half? How are you feeling about the workload at this point?
We've been busier than we've ever been, quite honestly, in the last year. I mean, last year was probably our strongest year ever, and it's continuing that way this year, just because there's so many clients that really need our help in times like these, and really need us to look at that broad picture, need us to weave together the financial planning, the investment, the tax and estate planning elements of their situation, you know, in this changing environment.
Yeah.
And that's been, you know, I've seen other firms around the country that have struggled to, they've been just as busy with so much going on and so many needs of clients, and managing that during COVID and post-COVID has been challenging for a lot of firms.
Well, and you throw on top of that, I mean, the changes that, you know, you as a leader and manager of a team of employees have been going through. I mean, talk a little bit about your team and the changes that you've seen there. What's been going on in terms of, you know, how we all do our work? What are you seeing from your team? I mean, obviously remote work has been a huge challenge for some people, opportunity for others, but what else comes to mind as you're thinking about the future of leading and managing a team of employees?
Yeah, I think a couple things. I think obviously, as you said, remote work is sort of the way of the future and the way of the current time now. And I think the technology trends have been accelerated so dramatically in this past year. And I've seen some statistics on that are just staggering in terms of how quickly we've evolved in certain areas in technology. We as a firm have been lucky that we've had the pieces in place to be able to go remote. And for the couple months that we were fully remote, it basically worked. You know, there were certainly some glitches. But what we learned, I think, is that number one, we can be remote and get the bulk of the work done. Mm-hmm. Number two, we can have remote employees and manage that as part of the process. And I've always been uncomfortable with that in the past. Maybe I'm just too old school, like, and have somebody there that I can see what they're doing. But we've got two fully remote employees now. We've got a financial planner in Wyoming that works with us part-time, and we've got a tax review person in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And that's worked out great. And I think that's changed the way we think about what the firm will look like. That, along with the fact that so many of our clients are very comfortable with virtual meetings now. You know, I don't know that we need the office space we've got. Our lease comes up the end of this year. We're going to probably scale that back some. You know, I think we can look more broadly at future employees. You know, we have a strong need in the tax area for some experienced tax folks. And I think we can look more broadly now. It doesn't need to be somebody necessarily local, or certainly not someone that needs to be in the office every day. Mm-hmm. So we can give that flexibility. I think that's going to be important. I think it's hard to keep culture in place, you know, in a firm like ours, and especially in bigger firms. I've got some colleagues around the country who have rapidly growing firms, and you know, they're hiring, you know, aggressively during the pandemic. And that's tough to do. It's tough to bring people on board during a full remote, you know, situation. I think we've got to really pay attention. We've got to work hard to maintain that culture and keep the communication up, which has been really critical. And technology becomes so much more important in what we do. You know, luckily we made the change a number of years ago in a couple key elements of what we do in terms of providing services to clients, where everything's in the cloud, everything's, you know, easily accessible for us and for clients. And that really has helped us adapt to this environment.
Nice. I'm curious, how do you think financial planners should be thinking differently about their practices now, as opposed to, you know, 12, 18 months ago?
I think more than ever, I think financial planners really should be focused first and foremost on their clients and really understanding their clients deeply, understanding their life planning goals and what they want to accomplish, rather than just focusing on the numbers and the strategies and the, you know, the technical aspects of what we do. Another good example, a lot of our clients have had more charitable inclination lately because they realize there's so much need out there as we go through the pandemic, so many folks that are in need that are really hurting, they want to do more to help people. So they've been going down the path of providing more, you know, doing more in the charitable area and thinking more about that as an important part of what they and their family want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. But I think unless you have that conversation with the client and really let them open up and talk about what their concerns are, what their issues are, what they're facing, it's really hard to go down a path of helping them without that kind of background. So I think that to me, more than anything else, that shift to being more of a life planner, if you will, along with the technical skills to complement it, makes that role so much more important.
Well, Lyle, listen, it was great seeing you again. Great talking to you. Thanks for your insights and best of luck with all these changes and the others that I'm sure are still to come. So, but thanks for being here. Well,
glad to be here, Bill. Glad to share the thoughts, and we'll keep you posted as things evolve. Thank you.
Really great talk there with Lyle Benson, president and founder of LK Benson & Company in Baltimore. If you're looking for more resources to help you kind of future-proof your services to individuals, you can start by visiting the AICPA's Planning and Tax Advisory Services page. It integrates personal financial planning and tax content to kind of help tie it all together, and you'll find more at aicpa.org/grow-advisory-services. You will also find lots of help in the MACPA's CPE catalog. There's plenty to learn there about tax reform, estate planning, financial planning, anything else you need to brush up on, including the MACPA's upcoming virtual personal financial planning conference that's slated for October 26. Get details about that and all of your learning needs by visiting macpa.org. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that is all I got for you, gang. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.